Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And he wrote the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die." Now this is not just Uriah. Uriah will be with a squad of men. So the entire squad will be put forward, and the rest of the men that are with them at a certain point will be signaled and they will withdraw, and those men will die. All for the point of killing Uriah and covering up the fact that David had adultery and slept with his wife. It came to pass when Joab observed the city. Oh, another thing. Can you imagine? Uriah delivers this message to his commander, and he opens it up, and he's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's reading it while Uriah is standing right there.
Yeah.
How in the world could he have kept a straight face? You know, it would have said, "What is he doing? What did you do?"
Yeah.
And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So David has killed a man. Not killed a man. He has murdered a man. You remember we talked about Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill is a misinterpretation. Absolutely. It was put there by the hand of Satan also to deceive, because killing is a necessary part. This Bible says it. It's a necessary part of life. But thou shalt not murder. If someone is innocent, they have no death sentence whatsoever in God's sight. The innocent person in the garden, totally innocent, we're supposed to live forever. Only until sin came in did God say they would die. Uriah the Hittite was not just innocent, extremely innocent. By his own moral compass, followed God with all his heart, extremely innocent. Then Joab sent and told David all the tidings concerning the war. Charged the messenger, saying, "When thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, Wherefore approacheth ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerebusheth, and not a woman cast a piece of the millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebez? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." So he's telling this servant, you go and report what has happened in this battle. And when you tell him, "We got too close to the wall and a bunch of us got killed," before he gets angry, say, "And Uriah the Hittite is dead." Because he knows that was the mission that Joab was sent on. And he knows that that will bring pleasure to David. Pleasure in his flesh, obviously not pleasure in his spirit. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. The messenger said unto David, "Surely the men prevailed against us. They came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." So David draws a big sigh of relief. "My sins are covered." I wonder if he even said, "Thank you, Lord. My sins are covered." And David said unto the messenger, "Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him." When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. You know, she was caught in the middle. I think she loved Uriah, so she mourned for him. But the king of Israel requested her attendance in his palace. What do you do? Do you say no? And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife. He didn't even wait very long. When the morning, and that's not the next day, that's her mourning period, he took her immediately and bare him a son. She became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, obviously. Murder, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many more do you do? Covet thy neighbor's wife. I'm thinking he got pretty close to about half of them.
Yeah.
Oh. Chapter 12, book of 2 Samuel. WBFF 97.7, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. The life of David. This is his David's period when his heart fell silent from communicating with God. Because God said, this man is a man after my own heart. He even said that after he did this. We just say he just committed murder, covetousness, adultery, lying. I mean, He went right down the list and checked them off. And the Lord sent Nathan, who is the prophet at the time, unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. So this poor man has one little lamb and he raised it like a little dog. It's his pet. It lives in his house with him, sleeps in his bed with him. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herds, because he's a very greedy man. Traveler came, the rich guy's got hundreds and thousands of lambs. He said, I'm not going to take one of mine to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb. The poor man probably worked for him, so he just went in. I'm not taking one of mine, I'll take yours. And dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David just passed a death sentence upon himself. Because Nathan is being very covert in explaining what David had just done to Uriah over Bathsheba. Uriah was a soldier. They don't make much money. He had one special thing in his life, a very beautiful wife, Bathsheba. That's the only thing of great value that he had. He loved. And David had everything. Dozens of wives, all the gold and silver, fine palace. And he could have taken any damsel of Israel that he wanted. But he reached to this poor man and he took the only thing of value that he had. So David says, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. I've given you all that you have, and if you wanted more, I was willing to even give you more. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And this curse that God just placed on David exists today in the nation of Israel, which was reestablished in 1947. They just fought a battle yesterday. For 12 days they fought a war. The sword will never depart from your house until Jesus Christ comes back. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and will take thy wives before thine eyes. Give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Now, God is telling the future here that David's own son will rise up against him and try to take over the kingdom. David will totally lose control of the kingdom, have to flee the kingdom. His wives will be ravished by other men just because excess, everything in moderation. He had all of the beautiful women he could ever want, and a choice of any of the finest virgins of the land. And he reached into Uriah's household and took his wife. That one instant, Christian, how many times have you stood on that cliff and you know in your heart, the thing that I'm contemplating is wrong? And I've been there many times. And you're just teetering back and forth, and all of a sudden, you just, something inside you says, no, I want this thing. I'm going to do it. That's the moment that the spirit man loses control. But thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord, which he should have said as soon as this thing happened. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Imagine that. God even forgives murder and adultery when your heart is right and you've messed up and you ask for forgiveness.
Repent.
Repentant. Yes, repent. What he should have done as soon as it had happened. And all of this would have been avoided. Yeah, there would have been some blowback. Yes, the nation of Israel would have looked on their king harshly. God would have put the rod to his back. But Uriah would not have died. And lots of men will die because of this curse that God has put on Israel. The sword will never leave your family. And David will never build God a house now. Howbeit, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. What's it say a murderer should? What's in the Levitical law, Jonathan? What does the judge say that a murderer should get?
That's it.
Like death. Yes. Yeah. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. Yeah. But God has put it away.
Unless you can run to a city somewhere.
Well, no, if you truly murder.
Well, not murder. Yeah.
You run to the city and they do have a little trial there to find out if you really murdered or not.
Right.
Imagine everybody that murdered ran to the city.
Right.
Hoping that there were no witnesses that followed him. Oh, that's for the accidental deaths of people.
Yes.
And the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Here we see God overriding the law again. How can God do that? The law is the law. You have to live by the law. No, you don't. When your heart follows after God, the law is of no avail. David's heart followed after God. But yes, he did get into trouble. He did sin against God, but God is the reader of the heart. The heart is all that matters. And if your heart is truly pure, you will not lead a perfect life, guarantee you. But that's the only thing that God is going to look at when he deals out punishment. So he just overrides the law because he knows David's heart. He knows what's truly in David's heart. Thou shalt not die. Because David had just passed sentence on him own self. The man that has done this thing shall surely die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. God is not going to allow the seed of this adulterous affair to live. That poor child would have had a hard way to go. That's the child that David and Bathsheba conceived and caused Uriah to die. Now all the nations, God says, all the nations are going to be talking about the king of Israel and how he doesn't follow God's laws. You have caused all sorts of grievance, but I love you, David. I love you because you follow me with your heart. And I truly do understand the temptations of the flesh. And I understand that it happens, you know. So I'm going to allow you to live. But the child that you spawned with Bathsheba, it's going to die. The sword will never leave your family's line. And that curse, like I said, exists today in the nation of Israel. You will be cursed from your own family line. They will attempt to overthrow you as king. You'll be exiled for a while. Thousands of men will die because of what you've done here today. That one little pleasurous night. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Imagine that. Well, the poor little child, he didn't do anything. The book says, curse thee, those who hate me to the third and fourth generation. That night, David hated God. That night, God says, you showed disdain for me. That night, the spirit man lost control and the flesh did those things. That child was cursed because of that. It's nothing about the child. It was cursed because of the father. David says, I know within my heart, I know this is wrong, but she is so beautiful. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this thing. I don't care what God says. That's hatred. That moment when the spirit man lost control, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. How many times, Christian, do you search out God when you've done wrong? Oh, please, God, I'm so sorry. Don't let this happen. That's the wrong time to do it. I'm not saying don't do it. Be remorseful. The time to seek out God is before you do the thing.
Yeah.
David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. He's going through some serious religious activity here. Prostrate myself before God. Maybe he will show mercy on the child. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it's unknown at this moment whether anyone else knows about this other than Nathan and David, but I'm probably sure that they do because David doesn't hold court in private. The entire courtroom was there when David pronounced judgment on himself, and Nathan said, "You're the man." Mm-hmm. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. The servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, While the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? And when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. When the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. That's kind of opposite. Supposed to do that after they died. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? The child may live, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare his son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. This is a verse that shows God's absolute forgiveness. You can trespass against the Lord in every way, but if your heart truly follows after him, and don't tell me those two things can't exist. Your heart can truly follow after God, and you can fall to the depravity of this world. But the spirit man is still in there crying out because he doesn't like where this body has taken him. He's supposed to be the one in charge of the body. Sometimes it gets vice versa in the body. The flesh and the mind of this abominable thing puts the spirit man asleep with excess. Too much wine, too much food. You'd be surprised how excess food puts the spirit man to sleep. Too much pleasure in any fashion, in excess. Paul says all things in moderation. All things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian, but all things in moderation are acceptable. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And Joab fought against Rabbath of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. But Joab is a very keen general. He was probably around as a young man when Saul and David were doing their battles, and he's seen how David went out and wiped out all these people for Saul. But when he came back, they started exalting him beyond Saul, and he didn't want this thing to happen. He says, all right, we got it. We got the city, getting ready to go in and take it. You need to come here and lead the army so it'll be taken in your name and not mine. David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbath and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crowns from off their head. The weight thereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. He brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein, put them under the saws and under the harrows of iron, under the axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. And thus did he unto all the cities of children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. So we have we've gotten through David's little rough patch of spiritual problems when the spirit man of David lost control just for one evening. But you're going to see that it causes strife through the rest of his kingdom because of one moment in time. God forgives, but the consequences of sin can follow you the rest of your life because of one little evening. You got to be so careful. Yes, there, and I preach this all the time. Jesus Christ came to give spiritual forgiveness. So you can stand before God, your spirit to stand before God one day and be pronounced holy. But whatever you do in this life, you will pay for in the sin, in your flesh. You will pay for in David. We're going to see this from this point on. David will pay dearly in his flesh. He'll almost be overthrown. He'll be exiled. He will go through severe hardships. He will watch his children die. All because of this one evening of absolute fleshly pleasure. When he said, when the spirit man went to sleep inside of him, and he says, no, I don't care what God's law is. I'm going to do this thing because I want to. Big lessons in 2 Samuel. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Please go and catch our former episodes, WVFFradio.com. Like I said, there are things in there that your pastor's never told you because he doesn't know. You got to read this book over and over and over again. I've read it entirely over 100 times and different places hundreds of times. And every time I find something different. So catch up with us on WVFFradio.com. And with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.